ready to go.
Yeah.
You were talking about the boys in school.
Uh-huh. I went to school one morning when Marion was first in school, and I just knocked on the door, you know, and just walked in, because at that time I was cooking. And so I just walked in, and I asked Mrs. Engel why she was letting Marion sleep. Well, they said, he must not have got his sleep, or he wouldn't be asleep, because you leave him alone. So she wouldn't let me wake him up.
Did he do that a lot?
Well, no, I don't think. Probably several times. And he finally just got used to going to school.
Mrs. Engel was the first grade teacher, wasn't she?
Yes. She was principal, too.
Was. Uh-huh. What do you remember about her?
Gosh, I come to think about it, I don't think he knew too much about it, only just what I was telling.
Did you know her fairly well?
Oh, yeah. She was a very good teacher.
Everybody liked her?
Everybody liked her, yeah. She let us play out on the playground 5 minutes longer than we should have. And
no, she wasn't your teacher.
No, no.
Or maybe you were thinking about Mrs. McNeil at Riveria?
Yeah, I had her too.
Yeah, yeah. But Mrs. Engel taught your own children.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. She was a very good teacher. And I liked her. And I got along good with all the teachers that my boys went with. I don't know what else to tell you, unless you have a question.
Well, I'll probably think of some more questions. Let me go back and look at this sheet again. One of the things you wrote here, I think you said that on Cove, a Chinaman had a big garden,
mm-hmm.
and sold vegetables from a buggy mm-hmm. along town.
Yeah,
tell me more about this Chinaman.
Oh, he, of course, he'd been there since I was married, and
you remember his name?
I don't know whether the man had the name or not.
Okay.
Maybe I couldn't have said it if he didn't tell me. No, he raised a great big garden, and he put it in little round baskets like this, and went up and down the street, I guess downtown, because we always went right to his garden, you know, and he'd give us our garden, usually, most of us. If he liked us, he'd give us. If he don't, why, he'd talk Chinese talk, and boy, you couldn't understand him.
Do you remember what kinds of vegetables he raised?
Well, from spinach, well, just right, an ordinary family garden.
Any Chinese vegetables?
If he did, he never sold them to you.
Okay. Uh-huh. Just the kinds of vegetables people were used to around here.
Oh, yeah.
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 Mm-hmm. You also mentioned something about before you, maybe it was your mother who had asthma, came to Pasco, and then on the stagecoach to Elgin.
Yeah.
Were these stories that you heard, or how did you know about them?
Well, I don't know. My grandmother, Bachelor, her doctor sent her out west because she had asthma so bad, and they didn't know what to do with it. And they said, well, come out to a drier country. They came from Michigan.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they come on the train to Pasco,
mm-hmm.
and from Pasco to Elgin, and from Elgin to Cove, still on the stage, of course.
Okay.
And then we stayed there for, well, I was born there, So we must have stayed there 2 years, maybe. And then we moved to La Grande, and Dad worked for different farmers, because that's what he done when he was in Michigan, so he was a farm boy.
But you don't remember anything about the stagecoach, do you?
No, no, I was born after they went to coal.
Yes. And by that time, Model Ts were coming in for transportation instead of stagecoaches?
No, they had horses.
Horses.
Yeah. 4 or 6 horses.
Mm-hmm. We haven't talked very much about the house that you still own on C Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
You must have spent quite a number of years there.
Oh, yeah.
So when you first moved into that house, did you have appliances like washers and dryers?
Oh, no. Uh-uh.
Did you have a wood stove?
Yeah.
And
stove and a heating stove both. And it was it used to be, they said, an undertaking parlor and a grocery store and a tinsmith. And my son here's the oldest. He found a lot of the tin when he was working on the sewer pipes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we built in the house because we tore the house down and rebuilt, because on the inside of that house there was the siding just like it was on the outside.
Mm.
They don't, no paper, no
light.
No, nothing. It was, so we had a lot of lumber that was already painted, but of course through the years, why they if you use it on the outside, the paint wouldn't stick to it on the outside. So my husband made shakes for it, and he put those on, and that's what it has on the outside now.
When you rebuilt the house then, did you have indoor plumbing and electricity?
Not at first, no. Uh-uh.
There was an outhouse there?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Was that true of the apartment too? The apartment you lived in when you first got married?
No.
Uh-huh.
A granddaughter. Uh-huh. Great granddaughter.
Yes. I was just wondering how the living conditions changed during your lifetime, starting with no electricity, no indoor plumbing, and then gradually, I guess, as you found another place to live, a house that
When we tore the house down, of course, we piled it up, the lumber that we could save, and it had 12 by 12 timbers for a foundation, and that's still in there.
Mm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
We just built on top of that.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a bathroom then, and outside the hydrants and things, but I didn't have a washer or dryer for a long time, and then finally I got a washer.
As the ways that people lived changed, they got more and more appliances and luxurious things. Did you find your attitude adjusting to all of those things easily?
Well, yeah, because we just built up to it.
Mm-hmm.
And
slowly.
We really enjoyed it because we built the garage. When we got the old house tore down, why, we built the garage, and then we all moved in the garage. We had three beds, and I bought a Sears sink and that had drawers in it, and it's white metal. And then finally I bought the rest of the cupboards, and that's what they are too. Mm-hmm.
When did your husband die?
He died in 73.
From an illness?
Well, I told him it was from smoking, but he had an easy death. He just had went to the bathroom, and I knew he'd come to the bathroom, but I was always afraid he'd smoke a cigarette or something, set something afire, because he could sit down in a chair and go to sleep just real easy. And so I listened to him because I slept in the other bedroom then. You couldn't sleep with him because he was always hitting you. He didn't mean to, but then reflexes, I guess.
Had he always been a smoker?
Yeah, if he didn't smoke, he chewed, so one was bad as the other. Mm-hmm.
Do you have an idea of why he started smoking and chewing?
No, I don't know. He was so young, maybe he followed the elderly men who was working where he was working. So.
They all did?
Yeah, I suppose. Smoked a pipe, corn cob pipe or a pipe. And maybe bowled on. You see that string hanging out of their pocket. Yeah.
When you went downtown in La Grande, do you remember seeing saloons?
Yeah, I knew there was one on Jefferson, but it was Chinatown too, and we never went back there.
Why?
We're afraid of them, I guess.
You were. Did you think that they were going to hurt you?
Well, I don't know what we thought. I know we was told to stay away from that street by our parents and grandparents. They, don't you go down there now.
Did you know some black people?
No, I never knew any black people. My dad did when he worked for the railroad because they were porters on the railroad.
But there were also a number of black people living in La Grande.
Not too many.
You didn't see them?
No.
You think they kept to themselves?
Well, I imagine they did because my girlfriend, well, about 76 years we've been knowing each other now. She said, you don't go down that place now, don't. And Negroes, they'd bring whiskey from Canada and give to the carman was working on the cars, you know, seeing the brakes are all good before they went over to Boise. And so they'd pass it on to the men, and they'd sell it, of course.
How did they get it from Canada?
I don't know whether Canada just let them have it or not, but they wore bib overalls, and they had a pocket down the inside here. Probably put at least three bottles. I know one man, Dad said he could carry out three or four bottles.
Did you think that they were doing that so they could make a little money?
I don't know what they thought. I don't think my dad had too much to do with it because he didn't say anything. He just said this man got his whiskey again last night. So if he was on night shift, why he noticed it more.
What were you thinking then about black people in relation to white people?
I didn't like them.
Do you know why?
They never done nothing to me, but I just didn't.
Is it because of what other people said about them?
No, I don't think so. I remember a neighbor, my granddaughter's son, he had a there on Spruce Avenue. Is it the one that? Is it Avenue or is it the street?
Street, I think.
Well, anyway, they had a Negro family moved in across the street from them, and my grandson thought, oh, I'm going to have somebody to play with now, but a little black boy come out, and he run over to his mother, and he says, Mama, he says, that boy's black, will it rub off? But I guess she told him, no, that didn't rub off.
Did he make friends with the black boy then?
Oh, yeah, I guess he did, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think he's went to college. Well, he's going to go to college place this year, but he went to Caldwell last year. And he's in, he's 18 years old, so he's in high school now.
Now, who is this? Who is this you're talking
about? That's my granddaughter's, my granddaughter's son. They run the Dave's auction out there on the Island City.
So their son is the one who made friends with the black boy?
Yeah, and asked if it'd rub off.
But you said earlier that you thought you didn't like black people.
I didn't. I'd never seen enough of them. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't get down around the railroad where you'd see them. But my dad and Ed Allen, he both said that the Negroes rode the train, freight train, get in the boxcar, you know. Right?
White people did that too.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes, one of the other people we've interviewed told about people during the Depression coming from the East, families, mm-hmm. mostly white families,
mm-hmm.
no money at all, and no food in the winter.
Oh.
It was fortunate if they managed to get to their destination before they died.
Well, sure.
So you didn't know any Chinese, and you didn't know any black people. All you knew was white people.
I knew the Chinese because I worked in a Chinese restaurant for a while.
Oh, you didn't tell me about that.
Yeah,
was China marriages?
China marriages.
What did you do?
I waited tables in there for about a year and a half when they... And I both knew Mary and her husband both, but mm-hmm. I don't know, I've forgotten his name now. Mm-hmm.
Tell me about Mary, what kind of person she was.
Oh, she was good to me. Yeah, I like her, she was good to me. I wanted to make that egg that you just whip up enough to whip them together. And then you just put just a layer of egg on this iron skillet, all about this big around, and let that cook. Then you take it, when it's cooked, you put it on a hardwood board, maybe. And you make a whole stack of them, and then you cut the eggs this way to put that strips of eggs on the top of your noodles.
Mm-hmm.
She taught me that. And she taught me how to cut the onions up real fine, to slice them and then chop them. So I learned a lot from her too, yeah. And she was, her and Wong was really good to me, both of them.
Wong?
Wong.
Mm-hmm. Mary and Wong.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They had that restaurant for a number of years there, didn't they?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
And a lot of customers.
Yeah. They were where the park is behind the, in front of the old Safeway store. Their restaurant mm-hmm. was right on mm-hmm. Adams Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
You've probably been told that too.
Well, I think they had more than one place.
Yeah.
At one time it was on a second floor.
Yeah.
Across from about where the Pioneer Bank is now.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
When you said that she was good to you, you mean by teaching you how to cook
yeah.
certain things?
Yeah.
What other things did she do for you?
Oh, she'd... Every once in a while, she'd find something that she wanted to give me. She'd give it to me, but just a scrap of the material because she knew I made quilts. If it was just a little scrap, she knew I could use them, so she'd get them. And so that's in one of the boys' quilts someplace.
Mm.
I don't know which one got it now.
And you were working there after you were married, were you?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I had to be.
Mm-hmm. When you wanted to get a job, like at Central School or at St. Joseph's Hospital or at China Mary's, how did you present yourself?
Well, I guess through the principal at Central, now I'm sure that he told him I was a good cook, told Chinee Mary I was a good cook. But what else did he say?
Did you hear that there was a job available and then you go up and say, I'd like to have that job?
Yeah, I guess I did. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I got it.
Mm-hmm.
And she liked me real well. And I liked her.
Good.
Of course, Wong, he passed away before she did, and she finally married a white man. And they were either Milton Freewater or Walla Walla, I don't know which. They're over in that country someplace.
You said you did quilting.
Mm-hmm. I don't quilt. I tie. But oh. I tie it on the back side. I turn this over, and this would be the wrong. This would be the wrong side,
mm-hmm.
and I tie it. But my pieces were cut. Well, any shape that would fit in the next piece that I put in before. Or then I'd find a piece that would go in there, and then when I got that top made, why I put the cotton in it, or else almost a worn out sheet blanket makes a good line, a good thing in the thing. Then I turn it upside down this side, the bottom's here, and then I tie it, try to tie it about every 2 inches apart.
Why did you use that method?
All was used up old pieces of material.
I mean, particularly the tying.
Oh, I couldn't quilt, you know, take all those little stitches this way. I couldn't quilt because I can't use a thimble. And I'm just had to learn myself how to do it.
Was there a needle involved at all?
Oh, yes, a needle. And sometimes just, I don't think I've got any thread tied with yarn.
Hmm. Why can't you use a thimble?
I couldn't use a thimble for some reason. I never could. And I never did. And oh, I used to have a finger that was sore all the time because I'd try to push that needle.
Yeah. Do you mean you couldn't find a thimble that would fit your finger?
No, I've got all kinds of thimbles.
But for some reason it wouldn't stay on your finger?
Well, I just didn't like it. I could do better with just my hands.
Sounds as though you endured a lot of pain.
Yeah.
Do you have any of the quilts still?
Yeah, I've got a quilt at home now for my last great grandson. I've got it made. It's up the house here. I didn't bring it out.
Mm-hmm.
when I came in the other day. Well, I, to top it all off, I fell the other day with my husband's home. And he was mad.
you were not seriously injured, though?
No, I just, between the carpet in the kitchen and the carpet in the front room, there's a little strip of metal that you screw to hold these two together. I must have caught my heel on that and sat right flat. I was sore for a couple of days.
I'm glad it's not worse than that.
Yeah.
I think maybe we have come to a conclusion.
Yeah.
I would like to take your picture, though, before I leave.
Oh, my.